What's happening, man?
Yeah, Harry Douglas? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, Otis Harry. Okay, what's happening?
My bad,
man?
Harry.
Yeah, what's happening, man? Yeah, man, prime time. Prime time up in Philadelphia. One of the best places to play a football game. One of the best times to play a football game on a Monday night. So, yeah, get excited about it. It's going to be a good game. We of course, we'll talk all about it, ins and out of it. And you know, it's just, did you get better from the week before? I mean, I think that's the most important thing that you'll see is, like, did they get better from last Sunday? I don't know.
I hope so.
I would think they would.
Yeah.
Because another week and everything, other game planning.
Everybody says week one to week two, right?
It's a big jump sometimes.
There's a lot of stuff tonight that, like, I don't know. I don't think anyone just moved on from week one and made excuses or anything like that. But it also is, it is one game, obviously, of the 17 that you'll play. But there's so much sort of baked into the idea of, or the expectation. I mean, you really only do this when your team loses week one and looks the way the Falcons looked week one in losing. But there's so much just like assumed improvement that takes place from week one to week two. And when you play the way they did against the Steelers, you kind of start turning the page and talking about that.
Yeah.
They better. Because if they don't, they're going to get smoked.
Yeah, dog.
They're going to get embarrassed on Monday Night Football tonight if they play like they played against the Steelers.
Andy, I agree 100%, man. And it's going to be a challenge for them, again, on the road, in a hostile environment, Monday Night Football. I mean, it's just going to be a great atmosphere, and it's going to be one of those, you know, it's the biggest product in the country. So a lot of people are going to be watching.
Oh, that's the thing about it, too.
I saw a funny tweet that Falcons don't embarrass me tonight, you know, and everything like that. But I don't think they will. I think they'll go up there, and I'm just saying it from sitting here in Atlanta in the Kia Studios. I have no clue what's going to happen tonight, but I do think that they have to be better. We know that, but they got to be remarkably better as far as game planning, adjustments to the damn game plan when it's something might not work when you want to do it, and be consistent, man. I think the consistent part of the offense has to be that they got to be able to win on first down and protect the damn quarterback. Protect the quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, because of all the pistol they ran last week, he's going to be under center and everything like that. I'm not going to say that because I believe the pistol is what they want this offense to be more.
That's what they said.
Yep. And so I don't know how the game plan is going to be called, but Zach Robinson has to have a better day than he did on Sunday. He has to have a way better day. And so it's the whole offense. And I'm talking about, and I know everything is pointed towards Kurt, but everybody's got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line definitely got to play better. But these skill players, man, they got to get open. They got to get open and give themselves an opportunity to be able to make plays down the field.
Yeah, I mean, with the 60 minutes and really only 25 minutes of offense, but with the limited amount of offensive game that we've seen from this team, a lot of questions came up, right?
Yeah.
That's like, you have like a question per minute of offense that you've watched, like 25 different questions about what you need to see from this offense from week one to week two. I don't know if it starts with Zach Robinson or Kirk Cousins, but those are one of the two places that it starts.
Right.
In terms of what you want to see tonight, you pick. Whether it's the offensive coordinator or the quarterback, it's up to you. But both of them are, you're looking closer tonight after what happened week one. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, what's the game plan going to look like? What formation are you lining up in?
That's going to be the first. That's going to be the first thing.
If you're under center and you run play action on first and 10, the first drive, it's like, all right. So where was that? But whatever you need to do, whatever the game plan calls for, like, hopefully it works.
Let's not complain.
Like, I'm not going to be mad because they do it if it works.
Right,
whatever. Like week one, thought that was going to work, it didn't. Clearly, you didn't adjust during the game. Fine. It sucks. Flush it. Hopefully you can learn from it. But you're going to be paying attention to that really closely.
Yep.
I don't know, maybe I've been like that before, but I don't remember how many times I've looked at a game like, all right, what formation are they going to be in play one?
Mm-hmm.
How often are they going to use this type of play that you know this guy excels at, that they literally didn't use the first game they had him after they gave him $100 million fully guaranteed?
Right.
All right, maybe they'll use that tonight to his advantage. The reason that he got all that money, maybe they'll use that, the thing that he does best. How does he look? Does he look healthy?
Right.
Because that was the biggest narrative coming out of the game, not just here, nationally.
Yep.
I mean, is Kirk Cousins rusty or is he washed?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going with rusty because you have to. Because if it ain't rusty, we got a whole bigger problem to talk about. But again, that's the other thing you're gonna be watching. How does he look in his dropbacks?
Yep.
Can he move? Like, there's a lot of questions that I didn't expect to be having answered. Looking forward to getting answered in week two against Philadelphia.
Right.
Like, kind of basic stuff. But still, I mean, that's what it is. Like, that's what you have coming out of week one, and that's what you're going to be looking forward to tonight. If that stuff isn't better,
then
again, tonight's going to be tough.
It don't matter.
Tonight's going to be tough even if it is.
It's going to be tough because Philadelphia's a really good football team, man, who has a lot of great players, especially on offense. They got they got some disruptors on the interior. We all know about what Jalen Carter is, but Sweat can rush the passer. Yeah. They got, I mean, the defense, the linebackers aren't the best, but they're young. And, you know, we know N'Kobe Dean is
there. Linebacker, they had 15 tackles last week, a couple tackles for loss. He was flying all over the place.
Secondary, you know, you got Chauncey back there, and he's a very, very good football player. Big play Slay, opportunistic corner. But you can get plays on this secondary if you're able to protect up front. And it starts with those guys. 76 has got to bounce back in a big way today, Andy. He's got to bounce back in a major way. And if I'm them, I'm going to let him do what he does best. We're going to go forward, and we're going to go right. We're going to run right. Let's just let him be able to just attack and impose his will. That's what he does best. Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at that.
And he's very good at it. Because the thing with it is, if you allow him to do that, the play action is going to help him even more because he doesn't have to worry about the play action. It's going to work even more.
They do that?
Because he does not have to, you know, automatically just go back in the set.
Right.
You know, it'll help him out a lot more.
Anyway, this is true of every single game. We understand this. But for what this offense is, for how this offensive line is built specifically on the right side, and for what the quarterback excels at, establish the run early in this game.
It'll help.
A million things are going to be possible for this offense. You're just going to be able to do so many more things than you were able to do last week. So, I mean, you got pretty good running back, right?
It's nice.
And you got a good other running back, too. You got two good running backs.
He's getting more carries.
Yeah, maybe work him in a little bit. Maybe they wanted to. Maybe the script just kind of got screwed up last week because how hard everything was.
More than likely
it did. You know what they're going to do? I mean, as much as you're talking about trying to do stuff to get Caleb McGarry doing what he does best, they're going to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they saw that tape. They're going to put a guy over there, and, you know, they're just going to leave him alone again. Great.
All right, let's go.
Here's what he can't do. Speed rush around the outside.
Get him some help.
Man's got heavy feet.
Get him some help. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to tonight's game just because I want to see the improvements from week one to week two with this football team. And I'm going to go on a limb and anticipate that it will be. I want to limit say this offense.
It better be.
I mean, I don't want to go in with the mindset that it's going to be raggedy.
No, I'm not either.
Because I'm like, well, then why the hell am I going to watch the game then? You know, might as well try to have some kind of optimism about, you know, what they're able to do. Because, I mean, they're football guys. They're smart individuals.
Yeah.
They saw what worked and what didn't work and why it didn't work.
And I also don't buy that they're as bad as they played week one.
I agree.
I don't think that they are. And I think there's a lot of different factors that go into it. The interesting thing to me tonight and the next couple of weeks, the whole season really, but tonight because this is what we got, is to find out what those factors are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? Was it just you didn't play together? You didn't know each other? It was rusty? Oh, T.J. Watt's too good. Now, they did the same thing to Denver yesterday that they did to the Falcons week one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Falcons and Denver aren't supposed to be the same.
Right.
The Falcons are supposed to be better than them.
Mm-hmm.
They got a rookie quarterback and all that, but they didn't allow a touchdown. Bo Nix?
Yeah.
He makes bad decisions.
Yeah. Who makes worse decisions?
No one makes worse decisions in 2 weeks of the NFL season than Will Levis.
You cannot. And I don't know.
No one has made worse decisions than his head coach,
but I'm telling you this. When a coach walks over the sideline and says that to you,
and then he said it to the media, too.
And then he said it to the media,
too? Yeah. You call your quarterback dumb in public. Yeah. It's pretty tough.
It's a dumb – because it was dumb.
It was. It was.
Like, what – it's okay. One of my favorite coaches, Andy, was Rich Versace. Rich always say, it's okay to end up in every possession with a kick. It's okay. You know, especially like when it's forcing stuff. Just punt it. Just punt it.
Live to play another play. Let your defense do something.
It's okay to punt the ball, man. Because the defense played pretty good actually yesterday. Yeah. But
sometimes he maybe shouldn't punt.
Yeah.
We'll get to that maybe more in what's trending with Georgia being able to sneak out of Lexington.
Irritating, grimy football game by the Kentucky Wildcats. That's all I'll say about that game. That game was irritating as hell.
Yeah, but if Stoops goes for it. I don't know what happens. Now, he trusted his defense. And I will say this. They forced a fumble. Oscar Delp did fumble.
Luckily,
Georgia fell on it for Georgia's sake. But I know there's a lot of questioning about the decision to punt there and, you know, trust your guys, maybe pick it up. Like, Georgia wasn't doing anything on offense.
Nothing.
So I don't blame him for trusting his defense in that moment. But, yeah. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I wouldn't punt. Sometimes I would. Sometimes I wouldn't. I don't think I would have punted in that situation if I was Mark Stoops.
Well, but he did.
Thank God he did.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
Robinson to the goal line. Touchdown, Georgia. Has touched the ball tonight, but he took it into the end zone.
A lot of Georgia fans saying the same thing, Brian.
67-yard drive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the theme of the week was blow by blow, you know, so how do you keep that motor rolling? How do you keep going the entire game and just try to chop down the tree? You know, watching the film, you go look at their game last week against South Carolina, you look at their defense, I mean, a tough defense. You look at their front seven, what they do, they're going to bring pressure, they're going to challenge you. That's what they did to us today, and I mean, they played a phenomenal game.
Yeah, that's Carson Beck afterwards. You always say this, Randy, and I agree with you on it. A lot of times with good teams, whether it's NFL, college, whatever, like they all kind of sound the same. Like they're kind of delivering the same message. That was Carson Beck saying the exact same thing that Kirby said all week last week and the exact same thing that Kirby said in his postgame. Blow by blow, I guess, was a they spoke it into existence.
Yeah, man.
Or give Kentucky some credit, too, because they showed up and played some tough football. But, yeah, man, that was that probably wasn't, like, the most fun game you've watched Georgia play.
No, it wasn't, man.
A while.
And it was frustrating because Kentucky made it frustrating, you know. And I give them all the credit. They were able to control the line of scrimmage. They held the ball for 35 minutes. And Georgia, just when Georgia had the ball, they really couldn't sustain the drive.
Yep.
Now, that Georgia defense, once Kentucky got past the 50, it was nothing. It was like, okay, y'all got to make some big plays. But, hey. We're locking this thing down, and they lost. And that depth on the defensive line was tested. I saw somewhere from Stackhouse and played over 100, like combined, like 100 something plays.
Yeah,
you know? And so that's
Stackhouse played every play.
That's not good.
That's tough. Not good.
That's tough on him.
And it's also an example of what we were talking about. There's a couple things that over the first 3 weeks of the season I think have showed up, questions that we had.
Right.
It's like, all right, what's that interior look like? Those guys are pretty good,
but
there's not a lot of depth right now. And I know there's injuries and guys are coming back. You got a week off. Hopefully with Bama, they're going to come back. But yeah, like that interior is just not what it had been. And I think we kind of get an idea now of why there wasn't any hype coming out of fall camp about the receivers.
Yes.
They're not bad.
They're not bad.
But there's no one special.
And I tweet, and that's why my thing is like, are they not given chances? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's a lot of dudes on there, and there's no attempts to these guys. So that's my thing is like, because a lot of times when you get in these contests, you want to lean on your defense and everything. Kirby does that a lot. But, yeah, they got to figure out something as far as the playmaking ability of some of these guys to be able to make this offense more explosive down the field. And, you know, you got a week and you got 2 weeks to get ready for Bama. Because I said this 2 weeks ago, I said, if he figures out this offense, I'm talking about Jalen Milroe.
He did.
Watch out. Did you see them damn throws in Wisconsin, that corner right he threw?
Uh-huh.
Like, this dude.
Fourth quarter against USF.
Yeah.
First half against Wisconsin.
This dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jalen Milroe figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they're just going to get better and better with another week for preparation, and then you got to go down to Bama and you know, and try and find a win down there. But, yeah, offensively, Georgia just did not get any type of rhythm going whatsoever. I thought they ran hard. I thought Etienne ran really, really hard.
I agree.
And every time you got a good play, you got a damn penalty.
Yep.
Penalties killed them. Penalties kept stalling drives. And, you know, but I think, you know, these are things where you're like, okay, we got it. We can move on. Like, I turned it off. Like, I didn't want, like, after the game, like, usually I'll stay and watch the highlights, see if I can see DJ in the next morning. I ain't watching it.
No.
I was like, I don't want to watch nothing about this game.
And I think that's, you know, that's
nothing about this game.
That's the right way to think about it.
Yes.
Because, look.
It was freaking awful.
It was not the prettiest game that's ever
been
played.
If Kentucky had a better quarterback, Georgia would have lost.
Yeah, he played pretty good, though.
Yeah,
or at least he did his best.
He did his best.
He did his best. He was up for it.
Yes, he did his best.
Missed
tackles. Like, missing tackles.
Yeah, that's if I'm Georgia, the thing that really drives me crazy about that game is you're missing tackles and you're not blocking on the perimeter. Like, you didn't have great blocking from the tight ends. You didn't have great blocking from the receivers.
Oh, you sure you can play here?
Who?
84.
Maybe not. I don't know. I know. Like, a lot of hype about Jurecek. He doesn't look great so far. Yeah. Drop passes in week one, missing blocks, and just kind of, you know, kind of sloppy, not Georgia tight end level stuff.
Yeah. Because that other guy.
But you also went on the road in the SEC in a tough environment and probably should have lost and didn't.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
That's
like, you got to win your clunkers. Yep.
And that was a
every team's going to have one.
And that was a
you got to win them.
And that was a clunker, and they won. And now you can just move on from it, flush that one, learn from it, because I like the Kirby was really animated towards the end of the game because he was getting like, okay, God dog it. Y'all about to really get on my damn nerves. I know what I said, but I don't expect us to play the way I said.
Yeah, stop making it so true.
Yes.
Stop making me so right. Like, I don't need to I don't need to be you know, this is aging everyone years the way that you're playing this game. But they get out with the win, obviously. Not the most impressive thing in the world. They fall in the polls because of it.
Yeah.
Texas was ridiculous, even with their starting quarterback getting injured again. Quinn Ewers, injury prone.
He is.
Fair to say,
yes,
injury prone.
He is, but that
Arch Manning comes in the game,
but,
and maybe they're better because he can run the football.
Dude, he was rolling.
Yeah,
but how he got rolling, how he shook old boy.
Yeah,
and then just Arch just caught out.
I mean, we never seen a Manning do that before.
No.
They had a graphic on TV last night.
That's
the longest run of any Manning quarterback ever.
What, a grandpa?
Yeah.
Oh,
Grandpa's longest run was 27 yards. Yeah.
The Arch could get out now.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Not like that. Eli had 33 once, or Peyton had 33 one time. Eli had like seven. I don't remember what it was, but I know his dad is the most athletic of them. He was a receiver and all that, but nonetheless, that's the crazy story from the weekend. Is there was some wild games, and we'll get back into LSU and South Carolina and everything later in the show. But like, I mean, Arch comes in, and there's even more excitement now than there was when they beat the hell out of Michigan last week on the road. That's crazy.
Because Carl went to Texas and everything, so I think he would be better answer this question. I think they're winning with Quinn Ewers. They're like, okay, but they want Arch.
Yeah, and Quinn's good.
Quinn's really good. He's really good.
Yeah,
but they want Arch.
Yeah. Everyone wants Arch.
Yeah, they want Arch.
Everyone wants, but Quinn held it off.
Yes,
because he's too good.
He's good.
Credit to Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers is
because if he was only okay, there would have been whispers.
Yes.
There was no whispers.
Yes,
he was so damn good, you couldn't do anything about it.
But
he's hurt.
And they want that guy.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
of course they do. His last name's Manning, and every time he gets in there, he does stuff like that.
Yeah, man,
it's crazy, ridiculous. All right, let's hear from. I guess we already did that. We had an Arch highlight. You want to just hear the Arch highlight for fun? All right, let's hear it.
Split right is DeAndre Moore. Tight end is Gunnar Helm on second down. Handoff Weisner. Getting up, pulling it back in is Manning. Arch breaks a tackle. 50, 45 to the 30. Dare I say it? Say goodnight to it. 67 yards. Arch to the house.
Yeah, man. As if things weren't already on fire down there in Austin. Yeah. That takes it to another level. He also threw for 223 and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, man. I mean, they are good at it. I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. I said, Texas is a problem. They are a real problem.
Yes.
They're balanced. They can run the football. Their defense is better. I don't think the defensive line is as good as it was last year. I mean, but
they lost some really good top-end guys. Yeah.
But, I mean, Texas has everything you want. We already talked about Bama and what Melrose figures it out, which he seems to have done.
Their defense. Bama's defense looks good.
And then you got them damn Volunteers up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're jerks.
Yes. I learned
a bunch of bullies.
Just beat the hell out of it. I mean, just leave them alone.
Yeah, man.
Alone, man.
It's 56-0 at halftime.
Yeah, leave him alone, man.
I mean, whatever. They're supposed to stop you, all that stuff, but
leave him alone.
That was a little bit cruel
leave
what they were doing. Yeah, Ole Miss is good. They keep rolling. They won 40-6. Like, Missouri got a little scare from Boston College, but they buckled down and they won that game as well. So there's legitimately like six teams, maybe an argument for seven teams in the SEC that can go to the playoff.
Yes.
Obviously, Georgia is one of them. And even with what happened with Kentucky, you put Georgia up on that tier with those top teams in the country. But Texas is real.
Yep.
And Alabama looks real after what they did. And I know Van Dyke got hurt early, but I don't think that was going to make much of a difference as far as what Wisconsin's offense was going to do. Tennessee looks real. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Georgia does. Ohio State hadn't really played anybody yet, but they've got all the talent in the world. So, yeah, shaping up to be really fun like we thought it would. Let's hear Raheem Morris talking about Saquon Barkley ahead of the Monday Night Football game tonight.
But Saquon has always been a problem, right? He was went to Penn State. You know, he was coached by James Franklin, a good friend of mine, and they run a great program coming out of college. He was a great athlete coming out of college, playing against them versus the Giants. He was always a guy and a focal point of somebody you got to stop. He's very difficult to tackle. He's explosive. He's fast. He can catch the ball at the backfield. He can do it all. You know, he's one of the guys that we want our guy to be like and to be very similar to when it comes to this game and be able to play as long as being able to do and have the kind of production that Saquon's had in his league, you know. You know, barring injury, he's one of the best, and he's one of the best that's been able to play that we've ever seen. So I got nothing but very complimentary things from Saquon from a human level and a player level.
He's priority number one.
Yep.
He's priority number one tonight. You got to bottle up 26, and because he is everything that Ross said, and he is he's what they want that offense to run through.
Mm-hmm.
26. I know they got Jalen Hurts, and we talk about all of it. We know AJ's not playing tonight.
Yeah, no AJ Brown tonight, which is helpful.
But they want this offense to run through 26, and so he's going to get every opportunity tonight to go out there like Keem said, to run and catch. Nice touchdown catch out the backfield. Mm-hmm. This is how long since they played since Friday.
Yeah, it was Fridays ago.
And so they got everything they need in this guy. When you want to look at as far as just a complete running back. I mean, he's complete now because at first he couldn't block to save his damn life, but he has worked on that, and he is a complete three-down runner.
Yeah, he's like Raheem said there. He's everything that the Falcons hope that Bijan turns into.
Yeah,
right. I mean, he's sort of the prototype of what Bijan is being asked to do. Now Saquon's been hurt a lot, but when he's been healthy, he's been phenomenal.
Yes.
And you saw it that first game against Green Bay, had three touchdowns in a variety of different ways. I know it's not a matchup; they're not going to play against each other, but they're similar guys and they play the same position. If Bijan has a better game tonight than Saquon
does,
that goes a long way for the Atlanta Falcons.
It's go time. Mm-hmm. It's go time, and I'm gonna stay optimistic, which I don't have to be. Meaning, all the way up till 8 o'clock, I'm all like, this is going to be better, it's going to be better, it's going to be better, until I see it's not. And we promised ourselves that Sunday. Last Monday. Like, you're not going to jump off the cliff. It's not the end of the world. They had four quarters, 22 minutes of offense.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be better than that.
They have to. Yeah,
they will be.
Yeah, there's no option otherwise. Because if they aren't, then they're going to get embarrassed on national TV tonight in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to see it. Yeah. And tomorrow's not going to be very much fun.
No.
And I want tomorrow to be fun.
I like Tuesdays because I'm fully recovered from the weekend. So, yeah, I love Tuesdays.
Tuesdays are good. Tomorrow's going to be great. Let's get Mike Conti in here.
It's time to check in with Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks broadcaster Mike Conti.
Slides it forward, a shot, score!
Brought to you by Lindy and the Empower Home Team.
Now, Mike normally joins us on Tuesdays, but to kind of move things around a little bit with tomorrow being a reaction day and all that, plus wanted to get your thoughts on the game tonight as well. Mike, how are you?
Good. Good to see you guys. Excited for tonight.
Definitely.
We'll see what happens, but I'm excited. I mean, it's fun to see the Falcons in a primetime network game. Haven't had that in a little while, and let's see. Let's just see. I'm like you guys. I'm trying to stay optimistic until I have no more reason to be optimistic tonight.
Yeah, and there's plenty of reason to be optimistic with what happens from week one to week two in seasons. I mean, all the stuff you were excited about offseason-wise, signing-wise, still should be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just played one bad game against Pittsburgh. You just have to be better tonight.
Well, and watching the games yesterday, I think we're seeing a lot of early season trends emerge around the league,
mm-hmm.
and the Falcons are not an outlier in this. Like, field goals are winning you games right now. Mm-hmm. Like, the Commanders won a game yesterday
with seven
field goals.
Yeah.
The defense
the year
is
of the kicker, man, I'm telling you.
At least so far. But to me, that tells me, and you guys chime in if you disagree, it feels like right now, in general, the defenses are ahead of the offenses. I don't know if that's typical for early season. I don't know if that's something that usually works itself out by now, 2 weeks into the season. But it just feels like what we've seen in the league so far, the defenses are ahead of the offenses. So maybe the Falcons are a little more in line with the league trend. I don't get in this transitive property thing. I don't get excited that the Steelers won yesterday. I don't think that really tells me much about the quality of how the Falcons played last Sunday. But I do have two coaching cliches.
All right.
That I would like to present to you.
I love coaching
cliches. I'm sure you've heard both of these before many times. Cliche number one, You're never as good as you think you are when you're good and bad as you think you are when you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, teams improve the most between week one and week two.
Yep.
Especially, now, cliche over, this is my aside, especially when you mail in the preseason.
Because you use game one as your preseason.
Because that's what they did. They mailed in the preseason.
I think that's a part of the trend, though, that you're talking about, because we talked about this last week. It's league-wide the last couple of years where teams that don't – it's so much more common to not play in the preseason now. The quarterback play, the offense play in the NFL weeks one and week two is just not as good as it was 5 years ago because guys aren't as sharp as they were 5 years ago. Randy had a stat, like 2019, the last year that teams really kind of took the preseason traditionally seriously, there was something like 70 touchdowns thrown week one. This year and last year, there was 34 touchdowns.
That's incredible.
It's half. That's not a coincidence.
No.
It's because everyone's rusty because they don't play, and I guess now there's an extra game, so you have a little bit more leeway to get up to speed in season. The problem is they count. Like, you're 0-1 now, and it counts. There's teams that are good that are 0-2 right now, partially because they just haven't been sharp early in the year.
Yeah. I think the thing that probably concerns me the most tonight is if you get off to some kind of slow start and the crowd starts to avalanche on you a little bit, that would be very tough to deal with. I don't like that this is Philadelphia's home opener. I especially don't like that Philadelphia had an extra 3 days to rest for this game, although some of that was consumed by a 13-hour flight.
Yeah.
But look, I grew up, full transparency, grew up in Philadelphia, was an Eagles season ticket holder as a kid through college. That crowd can absolutely affect games, and the crowd can, especially for a night game, it can get very, very noisy and very ugly in that stadium, but it can also very much turn on the home team if they do not play up to the expectation of their local fans. So I think the first quarter of this game tonight is critical. I think it's absolutely critical. Look, even if you're down by a small margin, protect the football. Don't do anything that's going to put you in such a deep hole that you can't climb out of it on the road. I would almost prefer to see a little bit of a conservative look in that first 15-play script that you can see from Zach Robinson tonight. And that means run the football and give it not just to Bijan, but give it to Algier.
Right.
He's got to have more than three carries tonight, guys. Now, here's one of the other kind of oddities of last Sunday. The total plays the Falcons ran in the second half was a very low number. And you were chasing the game. You had to throw once you were able to get the ball late in your final couple possessions. So that might have affected the overall snap count, the overall usage of Algier.
Yeah, I think.
But I think that's a stat I would look for tonight. If Algier is at seven or more carries tonight, I think that's a sign that the Falcons are doing some good things.
Are you going to be paying really close attention to the first formation they come out offensively?
No.
I am.
No. No. Guys, I love this radio station. I love you guys. I love Carl and Mike. I love Bo, Mike, and Tiff. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm so over it. Right. Like, let's just go play football.
Exactly.
Like, there has been so much paralysis by analysis. In a way, I almost wish the Falcons would have played yesterday, because now we could be fully moved on from all of that. But, like, I get why people are interested. I'm not making fun of anyone or anything. Like, that's obviously something that's been talked about a lot. Let's just play football. Let's have a fun night tonight. And I just want to see the Falcons compete. If they are competitive, if they play better than they did last week, I can stomach it if it ends up not being a win. But I've got to see them playing better. This is a long season. Got a long way to go. Got a lot of home games coming up soon. Play better. Establish some momentum. I don't think Philadelphia is unbeatable in Philadelphia at all. And I think the Falcons defense in particular, with what we saw last week against Pittsburgh, I think you're going to see Jalen Hurts on the ground a lot tonight. The guy that scares me on that Philadelphia offense is not Jalen Hurts, and it's not A.J. Brown if he's even going to play or you know, anyone. It's Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And that is the guy, I'm telling you, I've watched him basically his whole career. Until he gets that first soft tissue injury of the season, he's going to look like Walter Payton. And that is the concern tonight for me. Are the run fits going to be adequate? Are you going to be able to take Saquon Barkley, or at least neutralize him or limit him in some way? He's going to be the difference maker tonight. If you hold him to, what do you think, Randy, under 80, probably
I'll
a good night.
Say somewhere there.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah,
the touchdown count, obviously, but yeah, I'll take that.
He's not going to have three like he had last Friday. That won't happen. If it does, we're talking about formation.
True boo. Mike, I know that, you know, there wasn't you were over at the Benz doing your job and everything like that, and was the best thing of the game or the match of Saturday, was it Ronald Acuña being there? Because the match itself.
I mean, they got Jason and I a cake. I thought that was nice.
There we go.
What kind?
So, it was a strawberry cake. It was delicious.
Nice.
Like, that was it was actually kind of awkward for me. Like, that was a terrible, terrible game. And it's getting to the point for me now where, like, it's kind of hard to not express my frustration with what I'm watching as I'm calling the game. I just have to keep thinking in the back of my head, they got me a very lovely cake. They got me a lovely cake, so yeah. I'm not going to go in as hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I
can't, guys, I don't get it. Like, I do not get it. I do not get the lack of intensity. I don't get, maybe I do get the lack of chemistry a little bit because you are trying to get Moranchuk acclimated, but I mean, you've seen him now for three matches, and he unfortunately has not been impactful. It's bleak right now. And, got the little guy coming in on Wednesday.
Yeah, is he going to play? He might not.
You know, here's the thing. He played 90 on Saturday. That makes me wonder if they're going to be careful with him on Wednesday night because it's a road game. On the other hand, I think he really wants to play here. I think he really wants to have the opportunity. I mean, it's going to be a huge crowd. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to have the opportunity to come here to Atlanta and entertain the fans, or at least play. I think he will play. I don't know if he will start.
Right.
But I think if you have a ticket for Wednesday, I would feel pretty good about the chance. I mean, I guess we'll know tomorrow. Like, if he's ordering a pizza with green tomatoes and pickles on it and posting it on Insta.
Is that what he eats?
Or snap it. Remember that whole thing last year where we figured out he wasn't going to play in Atlanta?
Because
he posted a picture on that snap face about like a pizza that had pickles on it and stuff like that.
That's not a pregame meal.
And then there was a private jet that got in the air that took off from Boca Raton right before the game. Everyone got excited again. So yeah, keep an eye on Insta tomorrow, and I guess we'll get a hint. But look, the one thing I said on the post game show on Saturday, and I know we're really consumed with football, and that's cool. But the one thing I'll say about Atlanta United, just really quickly, they have had an amazing ability this year to play up to and down to the level of their opponent.
I mean, they beat Miami on the road,
crushed them.
Yeah,
with Messi. But Atlanta also had Almada that night.
That's true.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's not Atlanta United.
They don't have him anymore.
He's not on Atlanta United.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
So that concerns
me. Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Anything's possible.
Hopefully we'll all just have fun and no one will get hurt.
And maybe there'll be more cake.
Maybe we'll get cake.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe there'll be more cake.
What's your initial final thoughts on tonight's game up there in Philly?
I think it's going to be really hard for the Falcons to win, but I think they're going to look a lot better offensively tonight. They can't look much worse.
Right.
I am cautiously optimistic, that we could see a Falcons win tonight. You know, Stake and I were talking about it. The Falcons' record in that stadium, in the Link, is bleak. Like, really? But I don't think they've ever won there, as a matter of fact. Mm. Like, remember they lost?
Playoff game. Remember that?
Couple playoff and games. An NFC Championship game there.
That's right.
When McNabb was the quarterback, they obviously lost the playoff game. They had a chance to win.
Yeah.
And then they came back there the next year to open the season. I think Keanu Neal got hurt on, like, the first play or something like that.
Isn't that when the ball bounced off his knee?
Something like that. There was a lightning delay.
Yeah. That was either in the playoff game or that was in the first game of the next year. I don't remember. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. That did happen. He had an interception in his arms, and it bounced off his knee.
Since the turn of the century, the home team in this series has been, like, beyond dominant. If you're looking for a trend, of course, every year is different, and every game is different. But the Falcons just historically have not had much success. They've had some bad luck.
Yeah.
Like Jerome Boger cost him a game there 1 year in 2008, I want to say. And then there have been times where they've just been blown out. Like, I think the, what was it, 2016, they went up there and just got killed. So.
They played him in 19. I don't remember if it was a Sunday night or a Monday night game, but it was a primetime game. It was here, close. Wasn't it? It was here.
Yeah.
They got Julio.
Yeah, it was here, and they won. And then, the Falcons went on a tailspin.
Yes, they were 2-1. It was like, all right,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
and then it wasn't. Yeah.
Then it wasn't.
I think they were 7-2. They're 2-7.
2-7.
After that,
I believe you're right.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
We'll see. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll come back. Mike. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle. Obviously, continue talking about Monday night's game tonight between the Falcons and the Eagles. Get caught up on everything else that happened.